What have we learned about the Jewish view of the afterlife? I'm wrapping up here, particularly the Pharisaic view. I'm going to summarize. Number one, human beings do possess an undying soul. Number two, at death, the undying soul is separated from the body. Number three, the undying soul goes into a place called Sheol. Number four, Sheol contains both Gehenna, a place of punishment, and Gan Eden, a place of reward. Number five, Sheol, Gehenna, and Gan Eden are only temporary places, at least in the they have to be if we allow for a general resurrection. They are only temporary places of waiting until the resurrection. Five things we learned. Now we can take what we learned and compare it to the teaching of Yeshua and the apostles. Okay, but and we'll do that after lunch. But as I close this second session, I want to bring you back to the argument between the Pharisees and the Sadducees just for a moment so you can understand Yeshua and our faith in that context. The great teachers of the Torah, the sages, are divided on this critical issue. Does this stuff all exist, or is this just all a bunch of hocus-pocus traditions of men, you know, mysticism borrowed from, Platonic and Hellenism, from Plato and so on? Is there really an afterlife? Is there really an undying soul? Heaven and hell and the resurrection of the dead. The Pharisees insist on it, the Sadducees deny it. And it's at the height of this theological argument that God intervened again, like he had not done since Mount Sinai, with a definitive sign, and that is the resurrection of Yeshua of Nazareth. The resurrection of Yeshua of Nazareth vouches for the theological tenets of Pharisaism, if not the specific details, at least the big picture stuff. Yeshua himself espoused those things and endorsed them. That's what we'll see in the next lecture. And so for those of us who accept that, if you believe in the resurrection of Yeshua, the belief in the afterlife comes with that. It's the most important thing in the world because it shapes everything we believe, live for, and hope for. It changes your whole life. You get that? This changes everything. I don't care if it sounds hard to believe. That's not the point. Yes, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe in all this. It's also hard to believe that a guy who was dead for 3 days came back to life, you know? Walked around, was seen by some, not by others, then ascended to heaven. I mean, it's all hard to believe. The point is, we are believers. And this changes everything. At least it should, if you follow the logic. In fact, it goes one further. It demands not just the existence of heaven and hell and the resurrection of the dead, it demands the very existence of God. And to accept this premise of Yeshua and his resurrection then is to accept the whole package. You're either in or you're out. You're either with us or you're not. But the point is, you are not just an animal. This is how our message is different than the rest of the world and secular humanism. If what we believe is true and the resurrection of our master says it is, we are not just the end result of a long change of random occurrences in the evolutionary process. You're not just an animal. It's not just fatalism of Ecclesiastes or the eat, drink, and be merry, tomorrow we die of hedonism, nor is it the life stinks and then you die of nihilism. You're not just a complex biological machine. You're not just going through the motion. You're not like rats running through a maze. You have an eternal, undying soul of inestimable value, a transcendent being, a luminous being within you designed to live on and carry on your person when your body fails. And that eternal life can live within you today and inform you today to inspire you to greatness, today, Abraham Joshua Heschel said, our lives should not be just animals, but a work of art. You should consider your life as if you were working on a work of art, to live with design, intention, and beauty, and purpose. And then when the inevitable does come, the message is that death is not the end.